My name is Dr. Lucas Boersma from St. Antonius Hospital in the Netherlands. So if we look at the effortless study design, it was a standard of care registry in 42 sites in Europe, across Europe, and also one site in New Zealand. And it was actually set up to enter patients that were either eligible for an SICD or were already implanted with an SICD, so both a retrospective cohort and a prospective cohort. So actually, we included patients across the board. So any patient that was eligible for an ICD or was already implanted with an SICD was actually eligible to enter the trial. So there were no exclusion criteria except patients that needed pacing for bradycardia or pacing for resynchronization therapy or patients that needed anti-tachycardia pacing for VT. But other than that, most patients were actually eligible for entering into the trial. The etiologies were also mixed, so we had patients with ischemic cardiomyopathy, but also patients with non-ischemic cardiomyopathy. We also had patients that had inherited diseases like channelopathies, long QT syndrome, Bugatti syndrome also entered into the trial. So it's actually a quite mixed population that entered into the registry. So the primary endpoint was twofold. We were interested in finding complications at 30 days and 360 days caused by the SICD device itself. And the other primary endpoint was inappropriate shock rate due to atrial fibrillation or SVT. Now, when we look at the first endpoint, complications caused by the SICD itself, that freedom of complication was actually very high. So it was 98% at 1 year follow-up. And if we take into account that in the IDE trial, the pre-specified rate by the FDA was 79%, then this clearly exceeds that predefined performance goal by far. If we look at the inappropriate shock rate, that was also very low for atrial fibrillation SVT. It was only 1.5%. So that also was a pretty low shock rate for these supraventricular tachycardias. Secondary endpoint, inappropriate shock rate was a little higher, was 8.1%. And this was primarily caused by oversensing of intracardiac and extracardiac signals. It's also interesting to note that there is now a new generation of the SICD, and that device has a new algorithm, which has a filtering. And when we look at the effortless episodes and we use the filtering, then you see that if you would use that new algorithm, then the inappropriate shock rate would go down from 8.1 to 3.8% if you model that. So with the new algorithm, we expect that inappropriate shock rate for any cause would go down tremendously. So if we actually look at the data that we have now through midterm follow-up, 3.1 years follow-up of all these patients, then it seems that the SICD is actually performing consistently well with low inappropriate shock rate and high conversion rates of spontaneous VT-VF episodes. So it's actually looking very good. And it also exceeds expectations with regard to complications. And I think that this is where the power of the SICD really lies. The fact that there is no transvenous lead, and so that all of these transvenous lead complications actually are avoided by using the SICD, I think that is the biggest bonus that you have when you use the SICD. And since it performs so well in all these patients, it seems that my first choice would be to use an SICD, unless there is really a reason to use a transvenous ICD. For instance, patients that need anti-tachycardia pacing or resynchronization therapy, bradycardia pacing. So pacing indications, in my mind, are the most important indications why you would use the transvenous ICDs. But in all other patients, I would first consider to implant an SICD.